Welcome back to the newest episode of the Thinking Jew podcast, where we dive deep into Torah and Judaism, always uncovering new understandings we didn't know existed beforehand. I'm your host, Rabbi Moshe Siegel from Richardson, Texas. And as always, feel free to reach out with any questions or comments. You can reach me at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. As you probably know, I started a community for young Jewish couples of all backgrounds and affiliations in Richardson, really to provide affordable, enjoyable, meaningful living and an opportunity to really raise families in the Jewish community. If you've been enjoying these podcasts, I would love if you show your support. We're launching right now for the next 48 hours, our main campaign of the year. And any money that's donated in the next 48 hours will be matched by our generous donors. And I'd really appreciate it if you've been enjoying these episodes to show some support. The link to donate is in the episode description. Okay, so in today's episode, I want to discuss an amazing concept that is one of my favorite. So right now we're in the period between Purim and Pesach. Purim, the holiday celebrating the Jews almost getting obliterated by Haman and the Amalekites, and our miraculous 180 reversal, v'nahafach, we reversed it and we were able to succeed and destroy our enemies. Pesach, the holiday celebrating the Jews' freedom from slavery and their exodus from Egypt. And we find in a bunch of sources that the rabbis link these two holidays. It's not just that they happen to fall out that the one after Purim is Pesach, but there's a deeper connection between these two holidays, and I want to analyze that and try to understand that in our time together today. So first, let's just bring out a few places where we see this connection. There's a law that says that you're supposed to start studying the halacha, the laws of an upcoming holiday, 30 days prior to that holiday. So Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei, you're supposed to start learning about Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, 30 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, and same by all the holidays. If you look at Pesach, so you should start studying the laws of Passover, the laws of Pesach, 30 days before Pesach. That just so happens to fall out exactly on Purim itself. So we see that we're supposed to start studying and learning about Pesach on Purim. Another fascinating connection is you might know the famous line from the Talmud that says, "Misha nichnas Adar marbin besimcha." When we enter into the month of Adar, the Jewish month that Purim falls out in, we increase our joy, we're happy. And Rashi explains, Rashi, the greatest Jewish commentator on the Talmud, explains, why are we happy? Why when we enter Adar are we happy? And he says, because it was times of miracles for the Jews, Purim and Pesach. And everyone's bothered by this words of Rashi. Pesach is not in the month of Adar. Pesach is in the following month, in the month of Nisan. So when the Talmud says, when we go into Adar, the Jewish month that Purim falls out in, why is Rashi saying the miracles of Pesach? What does it have to do here? Seemingly, Rashi seemed to understand that there's some connection here, even when we enter Adar, to the holiday of Pesach. A third place where we see this connection is, you're probably familiar with the concept of the Jewish calendar. It's a little bit different than the Gregorian secular calendar. So the Jewish calendar is primarily based on the moon. But we have a biblical mandate to keep the holidays in their proper seasons. So we have a concept of the leap year, which in Judaism is an extra month. 7 times out of every 19 years, we add in an extra month. And what this allows is the lunar calendar to be in sync with the solar calendar and all the holidays to fall out in the right season. Now, the only month that we're allowed to double when there's a leap year is the month of Adar. So the Gemara asks, when we double this month of Adar, when we make a leap year, when should we celebrate the holiday of Purim? Should we celebrate the holiday of Purim in the first month, Adar 1, or should we celebrate Purim in the second month, Adar 2? And the answer that we go with, which is the halacha, what we do, is we celebrate Purim in the second Adar. And the reason the Gemara gives is in order to connect the redemption of Purim with the redemption of Pesach. So if we would make it in Adar 1, there would be a month gap in between our celebration of Purim and Pesach. We intentionally put it in Adar 2, in the second month of the leap year, when there's a leap year, in order to connect the miracles and the holidays of Purim and Pesach. So we see a third connection now between the miracles and the holiday of Purim and Pesach. So let's explore this relationship for a few minutes, and I think we'll walk away with an unbelievably powerful lesson. There's one very primary difference between the Purim and Pesach miracles and story. If we analyze the Jews' exodus from Egypt, the entire story was completely miraculous. God brings 10 plagues that completely override the natural world, turning water into blood, bringing in wild beasts, fiery hail, ending with a splitting of the sea, walking through a sea on dry land. The entire message of the Exodus is a display of God's strength and control over the world, control over nature. And we experience that as Jews leaving Egypt in the most explicit, real way possible. Contrast that to the Purim story, in which the entire miracle happens completely within the confines of nature. It almost seems like a lot of perfect coincidences that just happened to work out, resulting in a political ploy that allowed the Jews to succeed. Esther happens to be queen. Mordechai happens to overhear Big Son and Seresh. There's no vision of God being this supernatural power at all. It's the exact opposite. It's nowhere to be found. It's just all a political story of Mordechai and Esther. And if you look at the texts that we focus on these two holidays, you'll see this even more strikingly. On Pesach, the main text we read at the Seder is the Passover Haggadah. And when we're reading the Haggadah, if you pay attention, you'll see that the entire focus of the Haggadah is on God. God took us out of Egypt, and there's even a focus. Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Saraf. I, Hashem, took you out. Not an angel, not a seraph. I took you out. The whole focus is all on God. To the extent that Moses, the main human character, isn't even mentioned in the Haggadah at all. Contrast that to the main text of Purim, the Megillah, and the entire focus is all about Esther and Mordechai, and God himself isn't even mentioned in the Megillah a single time. The whole focus is only on the human characters, and there's no mention of God. So what's the connection between these two holidays? They seem like polar opposites. One is an entire focus on God to the exclusion of humans, and one is an entire focus on humans to the almost exclusion of God. So let's dive in a little bit. In the Torah, the biblical year starts with Nisan, the month that Pesach falls out in, which naturally results with Adar, the month of Purim, being the 12th month of the year, the furthest from Nisan. Nisan, which is rooted in the word Nes, which means miracle, is the first month of the biblical year. It's the closest to God that it exists as a completely miraculous month. Adar, the 12th month, is the furthest from this concept. It's the last month of the year, the furthest from the miraculous element of God, to the extent that God's almost not around. He's completely hidden behind the mask of nature. And I think the key to understanding this relationship is if we have a better understanding of the Jewish perspective on time. When we talk about time in a secular sense, we generally think of time as a timeline. Imagine a line, a two-directional plane that's just extending outwards in both directions infinitely, and there's no point in time that anything is ever repeated on the timeline. It just extends outwards. In Judaism, the deeper sources explain that we don't view time as a timeline, we view time as a helix. It's circling outwards. So while it's constantly extending outwards, and each moment is a new point in time on that helix, there are certain times where it hits the same spot in the circle, and those moments have a commonality to them. They have certain special energies that we can tap into when we hit them. So if you imagine the year as one complete circle of the helix, you'll be at a completely parallel place to where you started. So in Judaism, when the year ends, we don't just begin the next year. It's not linear that it just extends outwards, but rather it's cyclical and it cycles. So the end of the year, the 12th month, actually cycles right back in to the first month of the year. So while from one perspective, Adar is the furthest month from Nisan, Nisan being number one and Adar being number 12, at the same time, through a different perspective, it's actually the closest because it cycles right back into Nisan. Let's take this one step deeper. We mentioned earlier that there's two cycles of the calendar. There's the lunar cycle, the cycle of the moon, and then there's the solar calendar. The lunar calendar is our primary calendar, and we connect the solar calendar into our lunar calendar. Judaism itself, Torah, the Jewish nation, is compared to the moon. It's always changing. There's ups and downs, ebbs and flows, highs and lows, miracles and oppressions. The moon represents newness and change. The sun, on the other hand, cycles in perfect fashion, the same thing, day in and day out. The sun represents science and the laws of the physical world, the world which seems to just be functioning completely on itself with no greater force controlling it or changing it. While the moon, like we mentioned before, is more dynamic. Things are controlled and adapted as needed and changing. They don't just exist and repeat itself. The concept of Adar and Nisan, which represents the concept of Pesach and Purim, is the concept of connecting these two worlds, connecting the solar calendar and the lunar calendar, connecting the world of nature with the world of supernatural. If I were to ask you, what's greater, nature or God? So you'll say, of course, what's greater is God. God can control and change nature. But now if I ask you, what's greater, God overriding nature or God controlling nature from within, performing miracles clothed within nature, like the Purim story? Now that's a powerful question. Perhaps it's a greater expression of God's true mastery over the world is actually his ability to control it from within and allow the world to play out how it's supposed to play out without having to override the system. The connection between Purim and Pesach and the reason why the rabbis wanted us to connect these two salvations, these 2 months, and put these holidays together is to teach us that really these two concepts are one and the same. The same God that did massive miracles in Egypt, 10 plagues, splitting the sea, is the same God that helped Esther become the queen and controlled the whole Purim story from behind the curtain, helping save the Jews within a completely seemingly natural story. When we recognize that, we'll learn to see God playing a miraculous role in our daily lives in so many different ways. And maybe he won't be overriding and changing nature for us, but he's there enclosed within our natural world. And when we recognize that, we'll live such a more meaningful, deeper life and feel such a close connection to Hashem. I give us all a blessing that we should merit seeing the hand of God in our lives and appreciate that although we can't experience Hashem in the most explicit way that perhaps they did when they were leaving Egypt, he really is here with us every moment of every day, just the same. May we take advantage of this time between Purim and Pesach to inculcate this message and really learn to live a deep, meaningful life. I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Thinking Jew Podcast. As always, you can reach out to me for any questions or comments at thethinkingjewpodcast@gmail.com. Wishing everyone a miraculous day.